Our scripture reading for today is the epistle lesson from this previous Sunday, taken from James chapter 1, beginning with verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. In October of 1968, when I was 10 years old, I remember sitting in our dining room one day waiting for a total lunar eclipse that was supposed to take place. And what an exciting day that was, the first one that I would remember as a child. What an amazing event to witness. There's another one coming up on December 21st, 2010, that you will be able to see, Lord willing. It's amazing to think of the precision that there is in the movement of the moon and the stars and so on. The precision that you could predict with such accuracy exactly where the shadow of that moon will fall here on the earth at the right time, in the right days, the exact hours, and so on. Isn't it amazing how precise that huge explosion of gases was billions of years ago to make all this happen? Gas is really precise. At creation, everything that the Lord did and made was good and was perfect. Everything that he set in place, not only in the Garden of Eden, but throughout the world, throughout the universe, was absolutely perfect and pure. Everything was in perfect harmony with what he wanted and with his goodness. God is not a whimsical God who changes. The fact that sin came into the world was not by God's doing, but by man's disobedience. And even though many things now, because of that fall, have changed dramatically for us from that perfect world God created, and even though it may even have ways of impacting our planet and possibly even other movements in the universe, it's possible that there is some type of deterioration even on the lunar surface. Nevertheless, the God who established all of this remains constantly pure and good. Our text says, "In him there is no variation or shadow of turning." God's goodness and his righteousness, his purity, is reliable and it's enduring. It will never change. And that's very comforting for us to know. And that very same God continues to interact with creation, and in particular with us, with you individually in your life. James reminds us here that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. And we need to acknowledge that and understand that and remember that all of the good things that we have and enjoy in this world and in this life, everything that is good is from God and from his gracious hand. God wants us to acknowledge this and not to live our lives like a spoiled child who's been born into a very wealthy family and lives in a mansion and somehow goes around to his friends bragging and assuming that the wealth that he gets to enjoy is his responsibility, that somehow he has amassed this and come up with this. We need to acknowledge that the good and wonderful things that we have in our lives and that we get to enjoy, all of this is from the hand of our gracious God. Every good gift, James says, not just most of our good gifts, but every good gift. And there is no better gift and greater gift than the faith that we have that holds on to Christ as our Lord and Savior. Even faith is this gift from God. Notice what James says. God of his own will brought us forth by the word of truth. By his own will brought us forth by the word of truth. It's interesting how frequently we like to claim responsibility for what's good in our lives. And we have a temptation to take that same attitude toward our faith, to somehow think that, well, I see all these other people that don't believe, and I do. Hey, must be something about me that's working right. Must be something about me that's doing okay. Look what I've managed to be able to do toward God, that I've given my life to Jesus. I've accepted him as my Savior. Look what I've done toward God. Isn't that something worthy of a little bit of praise? But our Lord tells us, no, even this beautiful gift of faith that we have worked in our hearts that holds on to Christ as our Savior and looks forward to heaven, even that faith is a gift from God, because every good and perfect gift that we have in this world comes from him. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Our text tells us that God has implanted this gospel in us, this word of truth, to save our souls. Now think how amazing that really is. Stop for just a second and think that this God of the universe that created all things, that set everything into play with the planets and the stars and the sun and the moon and everything else, the one who manages all of this and keeps it and preserves it and so on, that he has also chosen to come down into your heart and mind through the word of the gospel, the word of truth that teaches us about our Savior and has caused our spiritually dead hearts to come alive and hold on to Christ. What an amazing thing that is. And it would be dangerous for me or for you to claim responsibility for this faith that we have, as if we would say, well, I did this. I'm responsible for this. I should get some credit for this. I have never done anything right in my life that's not in some way tainted with sin, at least the sin of pride. I have never done anything perfectly right in my life by myself. Admit it. None of us have. And so if the faith that I have in my heart is something I did, if somehow I'm responsible for that, if I created it, then that means it must be corrupt. It must be tainted. It must have something wrong with it. But every good and perfect gift comes down from above, even that precious gift of faith. And it's comforting for us to know this, that thing inside of you right now that's holding on to your confession of Christ as your Savior, that clings to the triune God of your baptism, that looks forward to heaven, that cherishes the forgiveness of all of your sins, that thing inside of you that is doing that little thing of faith, that is a powerful working of God himself present in you. And as a member of his church, you are now the possession that he holds the most dear to his heart. You are the item of his creation that he clutches to his chest the closest. Think about it. No other part of God's fallen creation was worthy of sending his son to die. Not the animal kingdom and world, not the planets around us, not the sun, not the moon, not the stars. In fact, not even God's angels were worthy of sending his son. But you and your existence and your future was worth the death of his son. You may have reason in your life, because of issues of self-esteem or whatever, you may have reasons in your life to question your own value. And you may have reasons in your life to question how others value you, the value they put on you. But have no doubt today from the Word of God that the value that you hold in God's eyes is beyond our ability to comprehend when we consider what he's done just for you. And that loving God cares deeply about us, not only our future in heaven, but even the life we're going to be living now in this world, however long that may be. And he's very particular and carefully watching how we use especially our mouths to glorify his name, Our text says, "Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." And one of the reasons for this is, as God's church in this world, the world is watching us. The world doesn't pay a lot of attention to those who don't profess Christ, but those who profess Christ, the world is watching very closely, very carefully. We see this even with politicians who are professed Christians. As soon as something happens in their life that appears to contradict that, boy, the press is all over them. Years ago, when I was working at a place in town here, there was a man that would bring his car into the place where I was working and happened to be a local pastor. And he was known for not being very kind to the people that worked in this place. And I used to be almost embarrassed to see him come in because of how he treated people and talked to people. We had other bad customers that came in, but everybody in that shop especially took note of the fact that here was this one professing to be a Christian whose way of speaking to people didn't reflect that very well. In the text just following the words of our text, James says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." Because our actions and our words send out a powerful message about this wonderful God who has chosen us to be his own. And so may the inner working of the Holy Spirit in us not only evoke in us an inner response that loves Christ and holds on to him, but also produce from our mouths especially an outer response that comes out of us in how we talk to people and how we use our mouths to sing praises to our glorious God. And we will fail at times. We'll make mistakes, just as Peter did in denying his Lord. But that same gracious Lord who retrieved him and brought him back to his fold, sent him out to do his work and to speak on his behalf, can do the same toward us. And so may the same powerful word of God that he used to create the world, that he has used to create faith in our hearts, also now be on our lips in praise toward him. Amen.